Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Back at it again! One more time! Two more weeks to go. Week 16 holiday. It's your Sunday morning quarterback show. I am Rick Fertella, and joined with me, I have two very special friends of mine, Rostradamus Ross Mandel, and the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Hoo-ha! Say hello to the people.
What's going on, y'all?
Down the stretch we come.
And as you can tell by the excitement in their voices, we're all
Tuned
up here on the Sunday Morning Quarterback Show exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I want to welcome everybody in the chat room. Shout out to the usual suspects. Those of you listening in on iTunes, you can get down in the chat room for free. Go to www.fsc.fm. And just to remind you, we are from the NFL Draft Bible right now. You can go there. You can get your 2010 NFL Draft rankings. You can get the College Football Insiders Bowl Game Preview Edition. You can get radio interviews. We're going to be doing radio interviews right here. Once the season ends, it's Can't Stop, Won't Stop right here on All Access Football Radio. We're going to do player interviews all the way up to the NFL Draft. We will do an interview with every single player who gets drafted. Trust me. Also, post-game, bowl-game rosters, senior bowl rosters, underclassmen watch, we got it all. Nobody's doing it like the NFL Draft Bible. And, oh, by the way, NFLDraftBible.com relaunch right around the corner, gentlemen. So let's get into it. A lot on the docket. We're going to have a little fun with today's show, do something different. You know, not all of you are in your fantasy football league playoffs, championship games like I am. So we're not going to cover every single game. We're not going to do our usual duds and sleepers around the league. We are going to talk about some games. We are going to talk fantasy, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to go all over the football map. And, gentlemen, yesterday, let's get to it, the breaking news. You know, I left the office, taking my ride back to the Long Island Railroad. My cell phone starts vibrating for about 2 minutes nonstop. Urban Meyer steps down as the head coach of the University of Florida. Impact and analysis, let's start it off with Rostradamus.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a shocker, Rick. You hear that it's for health reasons, then a few minutes later you hear that he had a heart attack during the season. I mean, maybe it was during the Alabama game, I don't know. But, I mean, then you start thinking about a prospective list of replacements, and you want to know, you know, why didn't anyone in Florida, which is a little football crazy, why didn't anyone report on this during the season? I mean, were they waiting until he said something? That seems unlikely to me. I still got a little bit of doubt as to what exactly is transpiring here, but, you know, definitely a stunner, and you don't get a lot of stunners that often in the world of football.
Ralph, your take?
To me, it was stunning, but if you really think about it, I don't think it was totally surprising, because if you really paid attention to some of the things that were going on with Urban Meyer in the past year or two, you saw the signs that were there. You know, he has been dealing and coping with stress for quite a while right now. As a matter of fact, just recently, I would say maybe 2 or 3 years ago it was, they actually caught a cyst on his forehead, which was reportedly the result of a lot of stress that he had as a result of being a coach. So, and then, you know, he's always had problems coping with stress, trying to keep himself, you know, in a more serene frame of mind, I should say. So, you know, the signs were there. The signs of burnout were there. So I think he did the right thing. He's still a young man. He has a family to think of and take care of. So I'm glad that he made this decision.
And where does the University of Florida go from here? There's a lot of speculation about who's going to be the next head coach of the Gators. It's actually the latest poll on the website. We got about 12 different candidates there. John Gruden, Mike Shanahan from the NFL world. You have, you know, all kinds of Bob Stoops and Kyle Whittingham and all kinds of names floating around now. Let's start it off with Ross Mandel. Who do you think right now is the front runner for the next head coach at the University of Florida?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Bob Stoops. I mean, he was an assistant there, It's really one of the very few places he could go that would actually move him up, and that's debatable. But I think that they lure him there with a fat contract, and I think it's going to be Bob Stoops. You know, an outsider, what about Bobby Petrino? I mean, if Stoops turns them down, I could see them going to Petrino there.
Yeah,
well, what if it's the first time he bolts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Actually, I'm not even looking at a big name. I would say, why not bring back a guy like Dan Mullen? You know, he's been there already. He's had success with Florida. The players know him. He knows Florida football inside and out. So why not a guy like Dan Mullen?
Yeah, a lot of people believe it will be Dan Mullen, and considered one of the great offensive minds. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of candidates out there. We got a lot going on between the chat room and the phone lines. Let's go over to the phone lines. We got Jersey in the house. What's on your mind today, Jersey?
Yo, Jersey in the house, my brothers. Yo, man, we've got two teams going to the finals. Quick
that's
question,
it.
Bro.
That's how we roll, baby.
I'm telling you, that's right, man. I'm telling you, I'm rolling this week, man. I'm telling you. Hey, I saw the thing. I got that dilemma also, the Peyton Manning farm thing, and I can pick up Al Smith. The gentleman that I played, I'm playing, he has Rivers. He got like 22 points from Rivers. So what I'm just trying to figure out, like all of us, do we take a chance with Manning? Will he play more than two quarters? Will Favre step it up on Monday night? Out of those options, I actually have Manning and Favre on my roster. I can drop one and pick up Al Smith. What do you recommend? That's my first question, guys.
Let's take that one first, because this seems like a question that comes up every season, especially when you have Peyton Manning. And I'm going to defer to Ralph on this one and see what he has to say.
Okay, thank you.
Well, what I would do here is, you know, I would take a look at your alternatives. And look, Peyton Manning, I think that he's definitely going to go for one half. He could go for three quarters, but it also depends on how that game is going to go. So I think that, you know, if you have an option that is guaranteed to give you, you know, let's say 20 fantasy points, is guaranteed to give you 250 yards and about two touchdowns, I would go with that option.
Well,
that's not exactly answering the question, Ralph.
Well, what do you think? Well, wait a second. What do you think Favre is going to do? What do you think Alex Smith is going to do? If you think one of those two players is going to give you 250 yards, two to three touchdowns, you go with one of those players.
Well, I have a strong feeling that Brett Favre is going to have a monster game on Monday Night Football. Ross, what's your take?
Yeah, I agree with you, Rick. I think Favre is the guy to go with here against a pretty much done Chicago Bears. But my question is for the Colts. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to sit Manning down for a half this week and then give him next week off, and then they have a bye week, and then he's going to play? I mean, it seems a bit excessive to me, but what they should do and what they will do are quite different. And I think for your money, if you're in the finals, you got to go with someone that you know is going to play, and betting on Brett Favre at prime time is never a bad bet.
Yeah, Jersey, listen, I mean, the fact is here, you don't want to ride with the mysterious mayhem going into the finals. You don't know what you're going to get from Peyton Manning at this point. Jim Caldwell's been kind of secretive. At least you know Favre on Monday Night Lights. That's how I would roll the dice. What's your next question?
Okay. The next question is, in that same league, I got to pick one of these three. I got Freddie Jackson, I have Bradshaw, and I have Michael Bush. I don't know if Fargus is out yet. So if Fargus is out, it would be I have Mike Bush, Bradshaw, and
Freddie Jackson. Let's give the good Reverend a chance to redeem himself here, Rev. Freddie Jackson, Ahmad Bradshaw, Michael Bush. Who do you like?
Well, let's see. I'm going to go with a sleeper here. I like Michael Bush. Fargus is out with an injury. Michael Bush is going up against a very weak Cleveland team. I'm going to go with Michael Bush.
Ross, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to take Freddie Jackson, mainly because there's almost literally going to be no quarterback in Buffalo, because I think Brian Brohm's going to get the start. So you know they're going to run the ball with Jackson, and they're going to have Brohm dink the ball to Jackson against a pretty mediocre Atlanta defense. So I think Jackson ends up having the best day. But your other two options are not poor. I mean, I like Bradshaw today, and I think Michael Bush can get it done. But I think as far as touches and upside and being a major part of the offense, I think you got to go with Fast Freddy.
And Jersey, just to confuse you even further, I like Ahmad Bradshaw here, and I'll tell you why. I think
okay.
Buffalo actually wants to see what Brian Brohm has. I don't know if he'll play another game, so they might give Brian Brohm 25-plus attempts. I think you look at this Meadowlands game, and I have Eli Manning starting in one of my fantasy leagues. I'm a little bit concerned because you look at this Meadowlands game. It's a classic smash-mouth football. John Fox returns to the Meadowlands. Both teams have strong running attacks. And you know what? There's going to be some swirling winds. There's going to be some bad weather. And Ahmad Bradshaw is going to be relied upon to carry some workload today. And you know what? Bradshaw is capable of busting loose. I don't think Michael Bush is, and I'm not sure I've seen Freddie Jackson do that. So I would actually take the guy with the most upside, who I think is Ahmad Bradshaw.
Bradshaw. Okay.
Rick, to me, Rick, Bradshaw could also get 10 carries, and that's much less than the other two are going to get.
Well, I do think he is the boom-bust pick of the play. I think there's more risk, but I also think there's a greater reward, and I'm just not sure that Michael Bush or Freddie Jackson's peak is as great as Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, honestly, I think Freddie Jackson's been playing great as of late, but all three of these guys are fantasy question marks, in my opinion. But that's what you get when you get to week 16, week 17.
It's in the final. Hey, last question. My PPR league, guys, always a tough one here. 10-point rushing touchdown. If you get 100 yards, you get an extra 5 bonus points too. You know, point every 10 yards. I got Snelling. I got Stewart. Now, if Turner's out, Snelling might not be bad. If D'Angelo's out, we got Stewart. Giants scare me at home. They play pretty well there. Carolina's a better home team than an away team, but Stewart could get most of the touches. Buffalo's defense is playing better. I think they're ranked 30th, but who knows how they're going to play against Atlanta. I need either Snelling in this PPR league or Stewart. What's your guys' input on that? And that's my last question, guys, and hopefully I picked the
right
one.
All right, Jersey, no, we love the questions, and I'm going to go right back to what I just said. In the Meadowlands, I mean, I'm going to go with Turf Toe Johnny here, because if the Panthers want to have a chance to win this game, they're going to pound the rock. And Jonathan Stewart in the Meadowlands, they're not going to put the ball in the hands of Matt Moore in the swirling winds at the Meadowlands. So I go Turf Toe Johnny all day here, and I'm going to throw it over to Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I like Stewart, and I know the Giants' run D has been actually playing pretty well, but the thing that they do is they let people score from inside the 5-yard line on the ground, so Stewart's got you there. But Buffalo's run defense is so bad that I have to go with Snelling in this matchup. I think he gets the goal line carries and the rest of the carries. I don't think Turner's going to play after the fiasco that happened with one carry and a re-injuring a week ago. I really like Jason Snelling today. I think he's a huge play.
Okay, Rev, you're the tiebreaker.
Okay, I'm going to make this very simple. Buffalo Bills are the absolute worst team versus the run. Jason Snelling is going to get most of the carries. You go with Jason Snelling.
All right, there you have it, Jersey.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man. Have a safe and happy new year. Best of luck to you guys. Again, hopefully this rides me to 2 championships this year. And, again, it's been a wonderful year, very successful and fun time with you guys. And have a nice weekend and a safe holiday, guys. Take care. Thanks again.
We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. And you know, get that polish ready next week. We're going to be shining up our rings together.
All right, man. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
All right, guys. That's Jersey in the house. Always good to hear from Jersey, leading him up to the championship. Getting the job done there, fellas. Not like Brady Quinn a week ago, but let's go back over to the chat room where we got questions coming in. We're going to answer all of them. We're going to get to them all. No worries. We're working down the list. And let's start it off with guest 210. Needs a lot of help. McNabb or Schaub at quarterback, fellas?
I'm going with Matt Schaub. Him and Andre Johnson are just too hot to do anything but play, no matter who you have. I like McNabb today, but I love Schaub today.
I think they're very close, but I'm going to go with Matt Schaub.
Yeah, I think both are very strong plays. You can definitely state your case for Schaub. I'm a little concerned that Mike Vick in the red zone has taken some potential touchdowns away from McNabb, so I'll give the slight edge to Schaub, but it would not surprise me the way the Eagles are playing if they just went off on the Broncos at home.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Rick. I have Schaub second and McNabb fifth in my quarterback ratings this week.
All right, let's see if we can help him out here at the running back situation. He needs two between Marion Barber, Jamal Charles, Mike Bell, the aforementioned Michael Bush, Arian Foster, Taz's favorite, So I'll say them again. Needs two of these guys: Marion Barber, Jamal Charles, Mike Bell, Mike Bush, Arian Foster, Ralph.
He needs two of the three. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm definitely going to go with Jamal Charles. He's been doing it each and every week. I know he has a tough matchup against Cincinnati, but I'm going to stick with the hot guy. I'm definitely going to go with Jamal Charles here. In addition to that, I'm going to have to go with Marion Barber III. I like Mike Bell also, but I'm going to take Marion Barber III. I think he's guaranteed to get more carries. I think the Cowboys are going to put up points. I'm going to go with MB3 and Jamal Charles. Those are my two guys.
Ralph, I think you're on the money 100%. Ride the red hot and Marion Barber, of course. Out of those guys, that's who you play. Ross, over at the wide receiver position, he needs three. Randy Moss is a shoo-in. Antonio Bryant, Kevin Walter, Mike Sims-Walker, Greg Camarillo, Dwayne Bowe. So let's just say Randy Moss is a no-brainer. I'm sure we agree on that. Let's pick two wide receivers out of Antonio Bryant, Kevin Walter, Mike Sims-Walker, Greg Camarillo, and Dwayne Bowe. Who are the two guys that stick out to you there, Ross?
Yeah, I'm definitely starting Mike Sims-Walker. And if you paid attention last week when Dwayne Bowe came back, he did get 10 balls thrown to him. He did look a little bit shaky, like he hadn't played in a while, and he hadn't. But I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe today at Cincinnati. I think that game's going to be a lot higher scoring than people think. And I think, really, if you think about it, that's who Castle's going to throw the ball to. And I can't really necessarily say that about Camarillo. I like Mike Sims-Walker a lot. Obviously, Moss is a choice. But for the third guy there, I'm going with Dwayne Bowe.
Okay, I might give a slight edge to Camarillo. I don't know. I would consider it because I do think that Houston-Miami game, I have a feeling that might be a shootout. And Camarillo's been coming on as of late. And, of course, every pick counts when you're in the championships. Ralph, the Eagles defense or the Cowboys defense this week? Which one are you putting your money on?
Let's see. Who are the Cowboys playing again? I'm sorry.
Dallas has Washington on
Washington,
Sunday night.
And you have the Eagles versus Denver, right. I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. I mean, I did not like what I saw out of Washington last week. Maybe you might say it's an aberration considering the fact that they did play well leading up to that Giants game, but I also saw a very confused Jason Campbell at quarterback. I saw a very porous offensive line. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Ross, you have a preference there.
You know, it's close to me, but you got to look at the teams that they're playing. And if you saw Washington play Monday night, obviously there's no way humanly possible they could play that poorly again. But Denver is a team that kind of plays it close to the vest, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. Whereas, obviously, if you've paid attention to Washington, they make a ton of mistakes. So I think, and I know the Eagles' defense is hot, but I have a feeling that the Dallas defense is going to have a huge game today, and I'm going to go with Dallas.
All right, there you have it. We are shifting through the the chat room for questions. Let's see here. Two out of these guys, non-PPR league, Fantasy Football Insiders here, non-PPR league, needs two of these guys, Steven Jackson, Jamal Charles, no Sean Moreno, and Matthew Forte. Needs two, non-PPR, Steven Jackson, Jamal Charles, no Sean Moreno, and Matthew Forte. Solid team.
Yeah, I think you definitely go with Jackson and Charles here. I think they're a cut above the other guys for today's games. And Forte, boy, has he fallen off the map, huh? And I don't like Moreno against the Eagles at all today.
Yeah, I say you definitely keep out Forte. I would have to go with Jackson and Charles myself.
Okay, there you have it. Tight end question, gentlemen. Jason Witten, the question, Jason Witten potentially staying in to block quite a bit versus Haynesworth. Is Haynesworth officially playing? I'm not sure.
I don't think he's going to play.
You don't think he's going to play? Really?
No, he's been sent home, mouthing off that the coaches are against him. I don't like that. That's a situation to stay away from.
Yeah, I mean, reportedly he actually tried to convince some teammates to show up late to practice, which is just terrible from a teammate.
That,
perspective.
Well, it's terrible. It's terrible from a Redskin perspective. But if Haynesworth wants out of town, that's the way to go about it, I think.
So what's
the question with Witten?
Well, it's Witten or John Carlson, who's just been terrible this season.
Well, he actually showed a pulse last week. 7 catches for over 80 yards and a TD, I think. Yeah, that's a tough one. Witten hasn't been a major part of the offense as we thought he was going to be, but I still think he's a better play than John Carlson at Green Bay. You can't like the Seahawks in that matchup at all, and you got to like the Dallas offense at Washington, so I say you go with Witten.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can't take a chance with Carlson. I know he showed some signs of life over the past couple of weeks, but to me, he's too hit or miss. You have to go with Witten here.
There you have it. I agree. Okay, Jamal Charles and Steven Jackson over Michael Bush. Yes, absolutely. Guess 207. Needs 3 of these guys. PPR league. Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson, Wes Welker, Marcus Colston, Michael Crabtree. Holy cow. Steven Smith. Jackson and Johnson are locks to start this week. Plus 6 points for every touchdown they score. Okay, so obviously Andre Johnson and DeSean Jackson are starting here, so he's looking for one of these fellas. Wes Welker, Marcus Colston, or Michael Crabtree, or Steven Smith. Welker, Colston, Crabtree, or Smith, Ross.
Which Steve Smith?
The Giants Steve Smith, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going with Welker. I like the amount of times he gets the ball, and I think Brady needs to get back to it today. I think he throws for at least 250 in that game today. Colston would be my next choice, but there's such a potpourri of talent there that you never know, and you know Brady's going to throw the ball to Welker, so I'd feel very safe with those three receivers and Andre Johnson heading the list, but I'd go with Wes Welker in that one.
I would agree with that. Another question, Ralph, have to start one of these bad options for my third wideout, Devery Henderson, Chaz Schillens, Brian Hartline, or Earl Bennett. This must be an extremely deep league. Obviously, each team is starting 3 wideouts. Devery Henderson, Chaz Schillens, Brian Hartline, or Earl Bennett, Rev, who's standing out there?
Nobody really stands out here. I think I have to go with Henderson just because he's on the best team playing with the best quarterback.
Yeah, especially if they're going to rest Colston late in the game, as people think they might. You know, that's a bad secondary. I think Henderson gets loose against bad secondaries.
Yeah, Henderson, I guess Earl Bennett would be the other option. He's always on Jay Cutler's radar. PPR, Jason Witten or Zach Miller, Ross?
Witten.
Ralph?
Witten.
All right. There it is. Jermichael Finley or Vasante Shanko? A lot of tight end questions, guys. PPR league.
I like both guys this week, but I'm going to go with Finley. He's just been red hot lately.
Yeah, he's the one that's finding the end zone between these two of late. So, you know, 9 catches against the Steelers last week. That means to me he's getting a lot of the ball. I love Green Bay today. I think they romp over the Seahawks in a game that'll secure them a playoff berth.
Yeah,
so
I like Favre to have a big day. I'll take my shot with Shianko there. Once again, you're listening to the Sunday Morning Quarterback Show, brought to you by the Fantasy Football Insiders. We are from the NFL Draft Bible. Go there right now, NFLDraftBible.com. You can get a player ranking, NFL Draft Bible Big Board, the bowl game preview. We got audio interviews with draft prospects, post-game All-Star Game roster, Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Game, Texas vs. Nation, Underclassmen Watch. Nobody's doing it like the NFL Draft Bible, and I promise you the relaunch is right around the corner. Okay, we got a lot of good things to discuss. One note I wanted, we talked about DeSean Jackson earlier. I came across an interesting tidbit I wanted to share with everyone. Did you know that DeSean Jackson tied Elroy, Crazy Legs Hirsch, and Devin Hester for the most 50-yard touchdown returns in a season? And I don't know. I haven't checked it out. YouTube, I've seen the highlights. But if you don't know Crazy Legs Hirsch, go see if there's some highlights of Crazy Legs on YouTube, man. You'll have a good time with that. Just wanted to throw that tidbit out there. Also, a couple of quarterback sightings. We had Patrick Ramsey signing with the Lions. with Matthew Stafford placed on the IR, and Free Willie. Remember Drew Willie from the University of Buffalo quarterback? He actually was signed by the Colts, possibly an indication that, yes, Peyton Manning will sit some today. Just in case, I guess, Curtis Painter and Jim Sorgi get hurt, you got Drew Willie over there in Indianapolis. And there was another thing that I wanted to ask the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, our residential New York Jets guru. Braylon Edwards, Ralph, is this guy trying to talk his way out of town? I mean, he criticizes Mark Sanchez earlier in the week. This guy's a pending free agent. What's your outlook on Braylon Edwards' chances in terms of returning to the New York Jets? They gave up quite a bit to get him.
Well, the thing with Braylon Edwards is, I think, number one, he's a lot like Terrell Owens in that if things don't go his way, he's going to complain and he's going to make people hear about it. He's going to lash out to the media and he's going to lash out about his teammates and be critical. That's just the type of player he is. He's Mr. Hollywood. As far as the Jets go, you know, I think they sort of backed themselves into a corner and they have to try to keep him. They did give up a lot to secure his services earlier in the year. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he stays, but I think that the Jets have to at least try to keep him and try to make something out of their investment.
Rostradamus, rub that crystal ball. Is Braylon Edwards coming back to New York here?
Yes. I think he's coming back. I don't see any way that they part ways for him, but as always, it's going to depend upon money, years, what else is available. But the guy has potential if he can ever straighten his act out. And quite frankly, you know, the quarterback play has affected his play both in both locations. So I think as Sanchez matures, Edwards prospers from that and maybe learns how to mature a little bit and keep his mouth shut.
Okay, Sunday Morning Quarterback Show. We do it each and every week. One more week after this week, 8:30 to 10, and then we'll be doing NFL Draft player interviews leading up to the draft. And we did a pretty interesting interview with Pat Swilling, who was in attendance at the College Football Hall of Fame 2009 inductee. We have both the text interview and the audio interview on the website. Thanks to Taz, thefantasyfootballwiz.com, for giving me the plug in the chat room. But, yeah, if you go listen to that Pat Swilling interview, he was very, criticizing the NFL in terms of their concussion policy, basically saying it's a bunch of baloney. So he had some interesting things to say, and those of you who remember Pat Swilling, remember he was a heck of a football player. So that was a very good interview. Also, some underclassmen news. Go to NFLDraftBible.com. Everson Griffin declared to the draft, according to the LA Daily News last night. Anthony Davis, the Rutgers offensive lineman, who I believe is a top 10 overall pick. I think he's going to be the second offensive tackle off of the board. Ryan Matthews, big bowl game, Fresno State running back, late first, early second round pick. And then, you know, Griffin's teammate, Damian Williams, is also reportedly leaving early for the draft. And speaking of the draft, you know, tonight is going to be a hectic night between the Dallas Cowboys-Washington Redskins game. For those of you, you know, we broadcast here in New York. A lot of Giants fans will be watching that game. But, you know, during the commercials, you got the – you know, Music City Bowl, C.J. Spiller will be on display. If you want to see the top-rated running back on the NFL Draft Bible Big Board, that is Clemson's C.J. Spiller. And we're going to talk about the NFL Draft. We're going to have these guys, Ralph Mancini, Ross Mandel, break down some of their top prospects. We'll talk a little bit about the draft order. And a little bit later in the show, you know, we're on the East Coast. Most of our listeners are East Coast. I know the West Coast kind of joins us later in the show, but this is the last game at the Meadowlands Giants Stadium, so we're going to talk about what some of our favorite Meadowlands moments are. And, you know, since we do have a lot of East Coast listeners, we'd love to hear from you, whether it's in the chat room or you want to call in at 347-945-6274. Tell us some of your favorite or most memorable moments in Meadowlands history as the Giants and Jets look to move into the new stadium next season. Once again, 347-945-6274 if you want to get in on that. And also, you know, we're going to break down our top fantasy football rankings. and we're going to discuss some other hot topics. But before we do all that, let's give a minute or two to two great NFL warriors who are now seeing the final moments of their playing career come down to an end. Let's start it off with Brian Westbrook, who I'm not sure that he's medically cleared to play, but it looks like he's going to try to play out the rest of his season and then call it quits, fellas. So, Brian Westbrook, let me start off with this question. Hall of Fame, Ross, yes or no?
No, I don't quite think he's a Hall of Famer, but if he had played every game against the Giants, he certainly would have been a Hall of Famer. Look, you know, little guy, came out of a little school, Villanova, 2002. Doesn't seem like that long ago, but, you know, a couple of Pro Bowls. The guy's 5'8". He busted up his knee in college, but he was still a very productive back, you know, clearly worth the third-round pick that Andy Reid spent on him. I mean, I'm never going to forget that punt return he had against the Giants late in the fourth quarter back in 2003, which pretty much turned Philadelphia's season around. They went to the NFC Championship game. But, again, you have the other side of the coin with Westbrook is the last game of the regular season, he got hurt and didn't play in the playoffs, and the Eagles didn't win anything. This guy killed the Giants. He had, I think he's one of very few players with 30 rushing touchdowns and 25 receiving touchdowns. Very versatile, very deadly, especially against the Giants. But, I mean, the life of the running back is sometimes you get hurt too much, and that's what happened to Westbrook. But definitely an electrifying player, a thorn in the Giants' side for all 8 or 9 years that he played. And, you know, on one hand, I'm sad to see him go, but for the Giants, I'm kind of happy to see that he won't be lining up against us anytime in the future because he just killed us.
Ralph, a moment of reflection on Brian Westbrook, sir.
Well, you know, the man was a little matchbox car in a land of monster trucks, you know. He was a one-of-a-kind talent, but the problem is he was small, he was fragile, and that's why his career ended up being as short as it was if he does indeed retire at the end of the season. Look, to me, as Ross said, he was versatile. He could return kicks, he could catch passes, he could run it inside, outside. I mean, for a while there, he was the Philadelphia Eagles offense. He's the one who made that offense go. You know, to me, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I wouldn't put him in there. He just didn't do it for long enough. You know, but that doesn't take away the type of player that he was, the special talent that he was. You know, maybe some people might say he might have been best served as a scat back because, you know, he's not the type of guy that could take on 25 carries each and every week or 25 touches. But at the end of the day, he'll be remembered as an all-time electrifying, great, exciting performer.
And also, he probably has played his last game, but he'll stick around with the team for the final remaining two games. And that's the good Reverend, Isaac Bruce. And who better to break down the career of Isaac Bruce than our good Reverend, the Reverend on the Reverend. Ralph, take it away.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I think the Holy Man should definitely be considered for the Hall of Fame. I mean, we're talking about a guy.
Doesn't he have the second most receiving yards of all time? I believe this guy's a
yes,
lot.
Yes, he does.
He's definitely up there.
And a ring.
That's right. And the other thing is, what about longevity? I mean, he's done it. I mean, he came into the league at about 94 or 95 was his first season. So he's been doing it for eons. You know, when you consider the shelf life of other wide receivers or the typical wide receiver in the NFL. He's done it with successful teams. He's been a winning player. He's been a consistent player. So to me, and, you know, the one thing that I always remember about Isaac Bruce is his exceptional route running. I mean, even up to last year, this guy would run circles around younger defensive backs because of his route running. So to me, I mean, this guy, I would definitely consider him for the Hall of Fame. It might take him some time, but I think eventually he should get in.
Well, I don't see what there is to consider here, Ross. This guy's a shoo-in in my eyes.
Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, second all-time, won a Super Bowl, 91 touchdowns, you know, over 1,000 receptions. And I love that he broke the 1,000 reception mark against his old team, the Rams. You know, he had a couple of injuries, but, you know, off the field, a great guy, an underrated guy because he, you know, is a quiet guy. Didn't, you know, he wasn't a TO. He wasn't making off-the-field headlines or mouth off or anything like that. The guy had 119 receptions in his second year in the league. That's the most by a player under 25. He did a lot of work with charities. Guy averaged 15 yards in reception, second all-time in yards. The guy's a Hall of Famer to me.
Yeah, without a doubt. Going around the league here, let's dabble into some of your player rankings for this week 16, guys. I know you broke down, you made a nice little list for each position. Let's work in reverse order. We'll start off with the tight end position. Take it away, Ralph.
Well, as far as tight ends go, I love JerMichael Finley. The guy's been red hot. He's been becoming a bigger part of that Green Bay offense each and every week. So he's going to be my number one guy. Number two is Vernon Davis. Number three is Tony Gonzalez. Number four is Vishanti Shenko. Number five is Brent Celek. Number six is Heath Miller. Number seven is Jason Witten. Number eight is Dallas Clark. Number nine, Fast Freddie Davis. And number 10, Todd Heap.
Ross?
Yeah, similar guys, maybe in a little bit different order. I got Vernon Davis number one. I think Alex Smith's going to be happy not facing the Eagles this week. They got Detroit. I like JerMichael Finley. You know, over six receptions a game since he came back from the injury. I don't know what to do with Dallas Clark. I don't know how long he's going to play, but I don't see any reason for him not to play at least three quarters. I think even if he plays less than a full game, he's still capable of putting huge points up for a tight end. I like Brett Celek. He looked fine by the injury last week. He's only going to be healthier this week. I like Fast Freddie Davis. 4 weeks in a row with a touchdown, baby. I got him going in my championship game. Very happy about that. And I like Heath Miller. Seven catches for 118. Hasn't finding the end zone. You know, and then 7 through 10, I got Gonzalez, Witten, Winslow, and Shenko. Look, these guys are six of one, half dozen the other. Gonzalez is in a weak offense. Witten isn't a main part of the Dallas offense. Winslow has a pretty weak quarterback throwing to him, and Shenko has pretty much disappeared over the past couple of weeks. If you know what? If Jeremy Shockey is inactive, I'd start David Thomas over those last four guys. It's a matter of opportunities, and if you have Drew Brees throwing you the ball, I think you have a better chance to get into the end zone than some of the last few guys that I mentioned there. But the top here, the top five, I really like a lot, especially Fred Davis and JerMichael Finley and Vernon Davis.
Okay, those are the tight end rankings, so let your beefs be heard in the chat. Let's move over to the wide receiver position, and we'll go back over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Well, number one is Andre Johnson. I mean, an unstoppable force. You know, I like him against anybody, but this week in particular, I like him against a very young Miami secondary. So I'm going to go with Andre Johnson, number one. Number two is Randy Moss. You know, that Patriot passing game hasn't been quite as potent as we're used to seeing it, but I think against the Jacksonville Jaguars, against a weak secondary, I think Mr. Brady gets back to his winning ways. He's going to put up big numbers, and he's going to look for Randy Moss in the end zone this week. So it's Andre Johnson, Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco is number three, Anquan Boldin number four, Brandon Marshall number five, Larry Fitzgerald number six, number seven is Roddy White, number eight, Donald Driver, number nine, Santonio Holmes, and number 10, DeSean Jackson. You can never leave him out. I know he has a tough matchup, but he's the type of guy that you just put in there each and every week, a very explosive player, the most electrifying player, wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, Andre Johnson going up against that Sean Smith, Vontae Davis secondary there, Ross. I mean, that's got to be I know I have Andre Johnson on one of my teams, and I've just got dollar bill signs in my eyes.
You got that right. You'd all be wearing my jersey today, maybe. Look, he's clearly the number one guy. But I'll tell you, me and the Rev are going to differ here a little bit. I like Miles Austin today. I know he only had 4-47 against the Redskins the first time they met, but I cannot get the Redskins' effort out of my mind. Tony Romo's playing well. He's coming off a big-time effort against the Saints, Miles Austin is, and I like him for plenty of yards and at least a touchdown today. I have Randy Moss third in my rankings. Number four, I like Anquan Boldin today, guys. I think Fitzgerald banged up a bit. Wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play.
That's where I have him, number four.
yeah, that could make Bolden the number one guy. I don't like that Rams secondary. How could you? Number five for me, I like Donald Driver today, the matchup against Seattle at home. They have no pass rush, and when you can't get to Rodgers, he will burn you every which way. But I think Driver gets loose. I love DeSean Jackson, sixth. I don't care about Denver's solid pass defense. This guy, not only does he seem to shake loose, he seems to shake loose by like 10 yards every game. I don't know how he does it, but he does it, and you got to rely on it. I like Wes Welker. He will not have only four catches this week. He will get back to his 10-plus catch weeks against Jacksonville. I kind of like Marcus Colston a little bit as far as the Saints go. He's my eighth guy. New Orleans is going to open up a can against Tampa Bay. And while I think Pierre Thomas in the ground game might have a bigger fantasy week, there's plenty of space for Colston to score points. I'm going to go back to Green Bay. I like Greg Jennings. You know, I said last week, when you can't rush Rodgers, Jennings will get deep, and he did last week, and I think he does it again. Seattle has only 27 sacks on the season. I think this is a great matchup for Rodgers and his wide receivers. And 10th, my man, Ocho Cinco, three games in a row with a touchdown. Kansas City's pass defense doesn't scare me. And Carson Palmer, you know, going to rebound. He had a great week last week. I see him rebounding with another good week. He'll use the effective play action because you know that run game's going to get going. You know Larry Johnson's ready to step in for Cedric Benson against the Chiefs. I think he'll hit Ocho deep for a score as the Bengals offense has a huge day all around.
Braylon Edwards not making the cut there. has the New York fans all riled up in the chat room with the Braylon Edwards. I'm just going to douse some gasoline on the fire because who is this guy to come out and criticize Mark Sanchez and say, you know, I thought we got through this already. I thought we got through finished with these dumb decisions. Obviously we haven't. I mean, who is this guy to take shots at the quarterback when all he does is drop touchdown passes? I mean, you know, I know you gave up a lot for this guy, but I just can't justify having a player like this on my team.
You know, at least when you hear Brandon Marshall and T.O. mouth off, they've done something. This guy has done
exactly.
Nothing for me.
He's had one good season. That's about all he's done.
There's your guy, Rev. There's your franchise.
Hey, man, it's a quick fix. This is what happens when you try to put a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound.
You got it, brother.
All right, so we got a report from Fox Sports here that says Kyle Bowler is going to get the start against the Cardinals over Keith Null, courtesy of Fox Sports. My man Keith Null, what are you going to do?
I'll just tell you, he wasn't terrible last week.
No.
I think the kid has potential. You know, sooner or later he'll get another chance, but we'll see. Crime Dog in the house. Woo! Crime Dog, I'm looking forward to it, baby. Needs to play one. You're asking me for help. You know, my goal is to beat you, but Sim Walker, Santonio Holmes, Steve Smith from Carolina, looking for one of these guys in our league, non-PPR league. Well, actually, we are 0.25 points per reception. So, Sims Walker, Santonio Holmes, Steve Smith from Carolina, Ross.
He needs just one?
Needs one.
Yeesh. I got to say, man, that Pittsburgh passing offense looked unstoppable to me. I'm going to go with Santonio Holmes here.
I agree. Wow. I have Santonio Holmes ranked number 9. That's the guy I'm going with. He looked explosive, unstoppable last week. I'm going to go with him again.
Yeah, I think I like that, Crime Dog. Go ahead and do that there, Santonio Holmes there, Crime Pup, and I'll see you in the championship next week there, sir. Needs one, Justin Forsett, Michael Bush, Ahmad Bradshaw, PPR league. Justin Forsett, Michael Bush, or Ahmad Bradshaw. I know I like Ahmad Bradshaw here. What do you guys say here?
Yeah, I kind of like Bradshaw.
I'm going to roll the dice and go with Bush. He's going up against a very weak Cleveland secondary. He's done it before. We all remember last week, I believe it was in week 17, he just ran roughshod over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you could see a repeat this week.
Yeah, I think McFadden's going to take some touches away.
Yeah, but Bush is more the inside guy. I think he has
That's
a better
true.
Chance of scoring this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Oakland Raiders even know how to use Darren McFadden, to be honest. All right, let's get it in. Running back rankings, Ralph.
Okay. I'm going to go with Frank Gore as my number one guy. I mean, he's got a matchup made in heaven going up against the Detroit Lions. I mean, if he doesn't get at least 125 yards here and a score, I mean, I'd be shocked. Number two is Cedric Benson. I think he comes back strong. Adrian Peterson. Look, the Minnesota Vikings are coming off against from an embarrassing effort against the Carolina Panthers. I think that whole team picks it up, and they score a lot of points, and they just blow out the Chicago Bears. Ryan Grant is number four against the Seattle Seahawks. That team is dead in the water. Ray Rice, he does it each and every week, and he's going to do it again this week. I know he's got a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, but he does catch a lot of passes. So especially in PPR leagues, look for Ray Rice to put up some nice numbers. Number six is Thomas Jones. Number seven is Chris Beanie Wells, another terrific matchup this week. Number eight is Jason Snelling coming out of nowhere against the absolute worst rushing defense in the Buffalo Bills. Look for him to put up 100 yards. Maurice Jones-Drew is number nine, and number 10 is Jamal Charles. And just outside my top 10 is Jerome Harrison, but Charles gets it at number 10 for me.
Rev, did you actually leave Ricky Williams off your list?
Oh, he's just outside my top 10.
All
but,
right.
Hey, if you like him, go ahead.
We got the same number one in Frank Gore. You know, his best games are at home. This one's at home against Detroit. I love him. I got to tell you guys, I got Ricky as my number two back this week. Must-win game. They're going to avoid the Chad Henne giving it away again loss, and I would look for Ricky to get the ball all day. I see him going easily over 100 yards. They're going to want to keep Schaub and Johnson off the field. They're going to run. Houston's not dynamic against the run. Love Ricky today. Three, Adrian Peterson. Big-time game for him and the rest of the Vikings. They were embarrassed last week. They need to get back and figure out what's going on before everyone starts talking about Brett Favre being the albatross around teams next. I got Beanie Wells number four. I love what I saw from him last week. He's the man in Arizona. And the Rams' rushing defense is terrible. It's second most touchdowns given up on the ground against fantasy running backs. Last 4 weeks, Beanie Wells carries 8, 13, 15, 17, slowly increasing, and I think that continues today, and he gets it done against the Rams. Number five, I got Cedric Benson. If he was going to play the whole game, I'd probably have him second, but he's not. Larry Johnson's going to get in there. Six, I have Maurice Jones-Drew. Sheer volume here, you know, he is the Jags' best bet for success. Garrard has proved shaky, as we all know, in the big spot, and this is a big spot today. Jones-Drew gets the ball at least 20 times, puts up double-digit numbers, as he usually does. Seven, I have Ray Rice. I don't care if it's tough to run on Pittsburgh's number one run defense. He still put up over 100 yards against them, 19 for 88 on the ground. He will be a part of the passing game, and he will end this game with a touchdown and over 100 yards. Guys, I love Pierre Thomas today. No one else is really that healthy. Mike Bell doesn't faze me. He had 11 carries for 92 yards against Tampa Bay the last time. This is going to be a complete massacre today, which means he's going to get quite a bit more than 11 touches. He could easily be in the top five, but I'll play it safe, place him eighth against Tampa's 30th ranked run defense. Number nine, we'll go to Cleveland with Jerome Harrison. We all know what he did last week. Not exactly facing an unstoppable defense this week. But, you know, with Mangini there, he'll probably use Jennings this week and we'll all look silly again. And number 10, Jason Snelling. I don't see Michael Turner playing. Buffalo's run defense is terrible. I think that it's Kansas City ran for $152, New England 100, and, of course, the Jets for almost 250. Those are the last three efforts. Snelling gets the goal line carries, and he'll run at least one in against the Bills. A lot of good running back matchups today.
These are the things you need to know when you get to the Fantasy Football Championship. Fantasy Football Insiders brought to you by the NFLDraftBible.com. Check out NFLDraftBible.com, player rankings, NFL Draft, player interviews, all you need to know as we get closer to the NFL Draft. It's in about 100 days or so, believe it or not. And we are going to get to the quarterback position for week number 16, started off with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers as my number one guy here. He's going up against a terrible Seattle secondary. Everybody puts up numbers versus that unit, and I don't see why Aaron Rodgers shouldn't put up about three touchdowns in this game and maybe come close to 300 yards or maybe even go over 300 yards. Brett Favre is number two. We spoke about him before going up against a horrendous Chicago team on Monday Night Football under the bright lights. He has something to prove along with that with the rest of the team. So look for the Vikings to roll in that one. Now, number three is Kurt Warner. Number four is Drew Brees. Two guys you can rely on each and every week. Number five is Ben Roethlisberger. Now, here's a guy who's getting hot as we're getting further and further into the season. He's involved this week in a big rivalry matchup versus the Baltimore Ravens. So even if this game meant nothing to the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is a game they want to win and look for Ben Roethlisberger to air it out today. Number six is Tom Brady. You know, this guy's been a little disappointing lately, especially during the fantasy playoffs, but this is the game where he bounces back versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look for him to get Randy Moss involved. Wes Welker will also get his catches here. And Tony Romo is number seven. Number eight is Matt Schaub. I know that Ross is in love with him. Number nine is Donovan McNabb. And number 10 is Joe Flacco.
Russ, is it true that you have a man crush on Matt Schaub?
No, but I got a three fantasy league championship game crush on him. That, I'll tell you that. Look, I got Drew Brees as my number one this week, and even if he's not going to play a full game. I mean, honestly, Tampa Bay is not impressive. New Orleans has got to be steaming. They're going to, you know, even if he plays a half, he could put up three or four touchdowns, as any Giants fan could tell you. Number two, I have Matty Fire Schaub. Look, yardage-wise, guys, this guy's been on fire. 367 last week. I know he only had one touchdown. He's facing a better defense this week, but not by much. Miami's passing defense is not impressive. And, you know, last week against Tennessee, Vince Young managed to throw for three touchdowns. So I hardly...
But Miami does have a good pass rush, though.
Yeah, that's fine. He'll find Andre Johnson downfield. Look, Miami is home, and it's an elimination game, but this isn't David Garrard they're playing. It's Matt Schaub, and, you know, the guy's thrown for over 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, so I like him a lot today. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. I think that's a terrific matchup. Seattle's packed it in. It's just terrible. They allowed Josh Freeman to put up a 95.8 QB rating, and if you do that, you're done to me, and that was at home for Seattle. Now they're going to go to Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be held down? I don't think so. Number four, Kurt Warner. I don't think he's going to be rested, not this week. He likes facing St. Louis. In 19 passes, he had 200 yards and two touchdowns. I think this week he's going to do better than that. The Rams' pass defense is 22nd. They gave up 367 last week to Houston. You know, they were lucky to give up as few points as they did. And I think Deanie Wells being an effective runner actually helps Warner and the passing game. Number five, I have Donovan McNabb. I like the Eagles today. I think they're going to thrash the Broncos. I don't like what I've been seeing. This isn't Kansas City or Oakland they're going up against for that pass defense. This is the Eagles in Philly with DeSean Jackson running wild like Hulkamania today, baby. December is great for McNabb. It's January that gives him the problems. I think 250 yards and three touchdowns is not too much to ask from him. Number six, I have Tom Brady. I know he struggled the past 2 weeks, less than 200 yards, which is impossible to believe. But I think he's going to emerge from the funk this week against Jacksonville's terrible pass defense. You know, Jacksonville gave up 300 yards and four touchdowns to Manning and never looked like they could stop Peyton Manning last week. I don't care how much rest they've had. That pass defense isn't going to get it done against Brady, who for all his struggles this year, guys, has almost 4,000 yards and has 24 touchdown passes. He lights up Jacksonville at home this week. Seven, I got Big Ben Roethlisberger. 500 yards last week. He's not going to get much more than half of that this week, but that's still acceptable. The last time Baltimore played a big game on the road against a competent pass offense, Aaron Rodgers lit him up for 263 and three touchdowns. And look, I like the Steelers today, and the last time the Ravens played the Steelers, they barely won in overtime at home with Dennis Dixon playing quarterback. Expect a different result today. Sorry, Rev. The Steelers are going to take this must-win behind Ben Roethlisberger. Eighth, I got to say, I got Peyton Manning, man. How well do the Jets play? That's what's going to, you know, decide how much Manning plays. I think if the Jets hang in there, he plays more. But if the Jets are in the game, that means Manning isn't lighting it up. My guess is Manning throws for a couple touchdowns and 230, 250 yards in three quarters of work. To me, that's his upside, and I think he'll reach it. I don't care how tough the Jets' D is supposed to be. The last time they faced a legit quarterback, they gave up 310 yards to Brady. Since then, they've made a living off Jake Delhomme, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Freeman, and Matt Ryan playing at about half speed. And by the way, last week that Jets pass defense, they had to stop Matt Ryan. When they had to, they couldn't. So I think Peyton Manning is going to have a pretty decent day. Even if he only plays three quarters, he'll post solid numbers. Number nine, Tony Romo. Didn't play great against Washington, but you can't ignore what Tony Romo did against the Saints. The guy, they dominated New Orleans, that offense. And basically, I'm supposed to now fear the bunch of chumps in Washington that I saw play the Giants Monday night? Don't think so. Romo's hot play continues. And number 10, Rev went with a little bit of a wild card there. I am too. I'm going to go with Carson Palmer, although I do like Joe Flacco. He's just behind him. I like what I saw from Palmer last week, and I don't think he's going to throw for 300 again. These are the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know Cleveland gutted them on the ground last week, and I expect Cincinnati to do the same. But I think there's still going to be plenty of touchdown passing opportunities for Palmer. I think something like 220 yards and two touchdowns, I think that's very usable this week. But I do, again, just outside my top 10 is Jersey Joe Flacco. I think he gets into that shootout rhythm today against the Steelers, that the Steelers win, something like 38-28 or something like that.
By the way, guys, did you hear has anybody heard anything about Ed Reed? I heard that he was doubtful going into the week. I haven't heard anything otherwise.
Nor have I.
Yeah, so if Ed Reed is out, and on top of that, Ladarius Webb, a promising youngster in that Ravens secondary, if those guys are both out, that just means that Ben Roethlisberger is going to go off here. If you have Ben Roethlisberger on your team, I think you're in very good shape this week.
I agree.
Those are your Week 16 fantasy football rankings, and later on we're going to have some fantasy sleepers that these guys have dug into the crates and bring you some fantasy football sleepers later in the show. And we also have some fantasy football matchups of the week. We're going to go over to the chat room where we have a special guest, Director of Programming Mark Ronick, making this show happen. Want to give a shout-out to him as we wind down the season. He is still in the thick of things trying to get his fantasy football championship on, guys, and he's got a little bit of a dilemma. D'Angelo Williams, a little banged up. Joseph Addai, questionable playing time. This is a PPR league. Now, he wants to know, how should he play this situation? He's got, Larry Johnson, who we just mentioned, the Cincinnati Bengals are playing a terrible Chiefs rushing defense. He's got Derek Ward in his stable, and then he's gone, with some insurance policy, Chad Simpson and Mike Hart of the Colts, in case the guy does not play. Fred Taylor's also on the waiver wire. He's playing Jacksonville this week. I'm not sure he's been officially cleared to play, though. So, let me open this up to the floor. If you had D'Angelo Williams, Joseph Addai, you rode these guys all season long. Now, all of a sudden, you get to week 16, week 17, and you got these decisions to make. So I will open it up to the floor, gentlemen. Run with it.
Well, with D'Angelo Williams, I know that he made the trip and he is suiting up. I just don't know if he's going to play or not. This is something you're going to have to monitor when we get near 12 o'clock or 12:30 when they usually make these types of announcements on game time decisions. Look, I'm not in love with any of these options here, but I think I'm going to have to go with Joseph Addai here. I mean, he might only play one half, but he's going to get some carries. And against the Jets, I think the Colts are going to put up some points early. So I think he probably has the best chance out of all these guys to score a touchdown.
I completely agree, Rev, and I would definitely go with Addai. I'm just not buying into this whole Indianapolis notion of resting these guys this week. You don't give guys 3 weeks off before a playoff game. It's ridiculous. And Addai, it's not like Addai gets 30 touches a game. He's going to get his 15, 16 touches, and he's going to find the end zone. He's going to have 80, 90 total yards, and I think that's more than you can hope for out of any of the other guys. And I don't like playing a guy like D'Angelo Williams this week. Put him in there, he gets one carry, and he's done for the day, and you got yourself a zero. There's no way Joseph Addai is getting a zero today.
Well, Ross, when you're talking about the Colts resting their players, I believe that mandate comes down from Bill Polian. He's had some bad experiences in the past as a general manager where he's had players hurt at the end of the season, and, you know, he paid the price in the playoffs for that. So I think he just has this tendency of being extra cautious when he goes into week 16 and 17.
Yeah, when you're extra cautious in a high-impact sport, your guys get hurt. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Let's keep it moving. The boys in the house. Good to see the boys in the chat room. Needs two of these guys. We're talking PPR league here. I'm going to rattle off some names. You tell me which two guys stick out. Brent Steelick, the celery man. Santonio Holmes, Josh Morgan, Hakeem Nicks, Calvin Johnson, and Austin Colley. Say it one more time. Brent Steelick, Santonio Holmes, Josh Morgan, Hakeem Nicks, Calvin Johnson, Austin Colley. Which two guys, Ross, stick out to you?
Wow. You know, I really like Santonio Holmes, so he's definitely one of them. And you know what? I know this is going to be a bit of a surprise. Our old guy is who I'm going with here. I'm going to go with Josh Morgan. I love that matchup today for San Francisco and Alex Smith. I don't like Calvin Johnson at all. I like Austin Colley, but again, how much is Peyton Manning going to play? That's a bit of a deterrent for me toward that. And Hakeem Nicks, it's close. I would always go with the wide receiver over tight end, even if it is Selleck in a good matchup. And I like San Francisco's passing game today, and I think they have a great matchup, and I like Josh Morgan today.
Yeah, I definitely have to go with Santonio Holmes. He's among my top 10 wide receivers this week. And these are all good choices, by the way. And I almost went with Josh Morgan here, but I think I would rather go with Hakeem Nicks. I'm going to go for the gusto here. I'm going to go with the guy who has a better chance of giving me the big play. Look, Morgan is a terrific guy. He's only been getting better and better each and every week. But to me, he's more of a possession receiver, whereas Hakeem Nicks is a guy who could grab a 5-yard screen pass and turn it into a 65-yard touchdown. I'm going to go with Nicks. I'm going to go with Holmes in this spot.
No, just Rev. Just.
I tend to lean towards the Reverend thinking there. I like Hakeem Nicks.
Guys, keep an eye on that hamstring in Nicks's.
Yeah, but he's been playing through it though.
I know.
I like Nicks, man. I like what he's doing. I think he's only going to get better each and every game. I know there's only two left, but I think he's going to continue to get better. Okay, guess 2-4-3 in the house. If you asked me any other week, I'd laugh at you, but. Here we are, Peyton Manning or Matt Castle, guys. Who do you like here, Ross?
Oh, man. I mean, has it come to this? I think you still have to go with Peyton Manning. Even if Castle plays two games and Manning only plays a half, I'd still go with Manning.
Wow. Yeah, I have to go with Manning here. I know Castle's coming off a decent game, but, you know, Castle hasn't shown me any consistency this year, and he's prone to the interception much more than Mr. Manning. I'd rather go with Manning here, play it safe in this spot.
Yeah, I would even take one half of Peyton Manning over an entire game of Matt Castle as well. Part two, Randy Moss, Vernon Davis, and Dallas Clark needs two. Randy Moss is a no-brainer. I don't know why people are getting scared of this guy down the stretch. So I'll ask you, Vernon Davis or Dallas Clark this week? I like Vernon Davis. Are you guys in agreement?
I
agree.
Absolutely.
You don't know how much Clark's going to play.
Yep.
Team defense, 49ers defense or Lions defense? Who do you like here?
Lions defense?
Did you say Lions?
I guess that answers your question. How about the Vikings versus the Bears? Which defense there?
Oh, Minnesota for sure.
Okay. The Jets defense against the Colts or the Bengals against the Chiefs, Ralph?
I'm going to go with the Bengals versus the Chiefs. I know that Ross likes the Chiefs to score some points this week, but the Bengals need this game. They need to wrap things up for the playoffs, get themselves ready. I like the Bengals here. I can't trust the Jets. You know, as good as that Jets defense is, they're not getting to the quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Bengals here.
I agree, Rev. And I think, though, Kansas City will score points. Even if your fantasy defense gives up 21 points, that doesn't mean they can't sack, return a pick for a touchdown. I think there's plenty of points there for Cincinnati's defense, despite Kansas City putting up 20, 24 points.
Okay, some wide receiver help. Currently, he has Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks, Austin Colley, and Kevin Walter. He needs to fill up his last receiver slot
and he's got Jerome Harrison for his flex position. So I'm not sure what the question is. If you're looking for one, I guess, Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks, Austin Colley, or Kevin Walter, which one of those guys, I'll say them one more time, Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks, Austin Colley, or Kevin Walter, Ross, which one of those guys do you like?
Well, I mean, I can't trust those Indianapolis guys. I think I'd have to go with Nicks. I don't know how much Wayne's going to play.
And the other thing about Wayne is he has Darrell Revis on him today, which should also make you a little bit apprehensive about starting him. You know, I actually like Austin Colley to play a lot this week, but I can't put him over Nicks. Nicks is my pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nicks as well. And, you know, guess 244, you might want to check yourself before you wreck yourself with Jerome Harrison in that flex position. Last time I heard, he was listed as questionable. I'm not sure he's even playing this week. If anybody else in the chat room has an update on that, I'd be glad to hear it. But definitely look into that one. Guys, I want to spend a few minutes here on the Cleveland Browns very early in the week. They did sign Mike Holmgren to a 10-year contract, reportedly worth somewhere between $50 to $55 million. Holmgren, 61 years old. Ralph Mancini, who's with us now, actually did a very in-depth article on the NFL Draft Bible website evaluating the evaluator. And, Reverend, you did some interesting analysis there. You actually broke down every draft pick from the Mike Holmgren regime in Seattle during his tenure as GM and head coach. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your findings and results of that research?
Well, here's one alarming tendency that I saw from Mike Holmgren during his 4 years as the chief decision maker for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, to me it seems that at times, you know, he looked at a player's measurables and his height and weight and his athleticism and his speed, And he didn't even pay attention to the player's character. So he put too much weight on his measurables and not enough weight on his character. And that's what happened with guys like Jeremy Stevens. That's what happened with guys like Corin Robinson. You know, guys that look good in a uniform, look good on paper, you know, but when it comes time to get any sort of consistency out of these guys, it's impossible. So to me, that was his first major flaw. And then on top of that, I mean, let's not forget, he was the head coach and the general manager. To me, that's always a deadly combination because, you know, to me, a head coach is so busy with day-to-day duties and directing his team, getting his team ready to play on Sunday that, you know, how can he possibly keep track of what's going on in college football? You know, to me, I think that's not a good idea. I think that hurt him, but also what hurt him was the fact that He put too much weight on measurables and not enough on character, which is important in the NFL.
Ross, looking at Mike Holmgren, the general manager, I know he's been a great success as a head coach, an assistant coach, you know, a student of Bill Walsh, running the offensive West Coast system, Super Bowl champion with Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers, but you know what? Head coaches don't always necessarily make good general managers. Now, you know, there's a logic of thinking like, hey, you know what? The Cleveland Browns actually brought someone reputable in, so it's better than what they had. But was this the right decision in your opinion?
Well, compared to what they've been doing, I think the answer to that is definitely yes. And I think Holmgren, you know, took a look at all these draft picks that Cleveland has stockpiled. And, you know, he does have some serious decisions he has to make, what to do with those draft picks, what to do with Brady Quinn, what to do with the head coaching position, what to do with the feature running back position, what do you do with Joshua Cribbs. I think he likes the fact that he's the one that's going to be deciding where this team is going in the future. And quite frankly, he's gotten himself into a position where he can only succeed. You know, how much worse can the Browns be than when he took over? Not much. And I think if he even has a little bit of success, that city is going to embrace him. And I think it was a very shrewd place for him to go. And I think Cleveland made a good choice compared to what they've been doing in the past. Is he the best choice? If you had anyone in the world to pick from, probably not. But, I think this is a solid B selection by the Cleveland Browns.
Let's take a quick second and run through some of those decisions you just mentioned quickly. We'll take them one at a time. Eric Mangini, Ross, is he staying or going?
I think he's gone. I don't think there's any way Holmgren wants him as the head coach.
Ralph, any chance Mangini survives?
No, I don't see any chance of that happening.
Brady Quinn, Ralph, staying or going?
You know, I think he's going to go. I think he's had his chance. If he does stay, he's only going to be a reserve. He's not going to be the starting quarterback in Cleveland.
Has he really had his chance? Ross, staying or going?
You know, I think Holmgren's had pretty decent success with quarterbacks. I think Brady Quinn gets a chance with Holmgren in the Holmgren mindset and maybe the Holmgren system, depending on what coach he brings in, to succeed again. I think Brady Quinn hangs on.
Okay. Jerome Harrison, guys, we saw what he did a week ago. Is this guy a starting running back? Is he legit in the NFL, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys gave me a hard time at the beginning of the year about him. I don't think he's a guy who's going to get the ball 26 times a game, but I think he's definitely a 1A or a 1 guy who can split carries. You know, if James Davis ever finds the football field and can stay healthy. Yeah, I think he could be part of a running back tandem, absolutely.
James Davis and Chris Jennings also in the mix. Ralph, based on what you've seen from Jerome Harrison, do the Cleveland Browns need to draft a running back?
I still think they do need a running back, and we'll get to that later when we address the draft. But I don't think Jerome Harrison's a feature back. I don't think he's a guy you can rely on each and every week to carry the load. But I do think he can be successful and very effective in a Leon Washington-type role.
Yeah.
So, but I think there is a place for him on this team.
Okay, we will talk some draft a little bit later. We got 20 minutes, but taking it up to the 10 o'clock hour. Let's go over to a favorite Meadowlands moments also coming up at the end of the show. Let's go over to some of your fantasy football sleepers for this week. Week 16, week 17, sleepers are sometimes the X factors that seal the deal for your fantasy football championships. So we're going to break down some fantasy football sleepers for week 16. Started off with Rostradamus, Ross Mandel.
Sure, Rick. Start at the quarterback position. We mentioned Joe Flacco. We also mentioned Alex Smith. I think both those guys today, you know, I'm playing a guy who has Peyton Manning, and he dropped Peyton Manning and picked up Alex Smith, and I was not happy about it. So I think Alex Smith is a pretty decent play today. I like Flacco against Pittsburgh's awful pass defense. I think those are two good plays off the radar, maybe. At running back, I like Larry Johnson today. I think there's room for him as in the flex spot for Cincinnati against his old team, Kansas City. You know he's going to be motivated. You know San Diego's locked up that playoff bye, so Cincinnati going to be resting Cedric Benson a little bit. He's been worked hard. I think Ahmad Bradshaw is also a solid play today. He should be the number one back for the Giants against Carolina's 26th-ranked run defense. I think he's a great play today. And, you know, Rev has been touting this guy today, and I agree with him that Michael Bush is a great play. He was great last week. No Justin Fargas against Cleveland. I think there are points to be made. At wide receiver, guys, this is my play of the week, Michael Crabtree. I know he was a little he left against the Eagles, but these are the Detroit Lions, and I love Alex Smith and Michael Crabtree as a huge combo today. It would not surprise me to see Crabtree top the century mark and find the end zone today against the lackluster Lions. Love Dave Thomas as a tight end today, especially if Jeremy Shockey is inactive. I think anyone with Drew Brees throwing the ball to him is great. And I'll tell you, you got a defense, you need a defense today, go pick up the Atlanta Falcons. I did. Buffalo's offense under Brian Brohm, you must be joking. At home, I love it. Buffalo gives up over 3 sacks a game. Brohm is going to be as clueless as we think he's going to be. I think Atlanta's D is a terrific play today. Those are a few of the sleepers I have.
There you go. Some hidden gems. Ralph Mancini, what do you got for us?
Well, here are my sleepers in no particular order. Jason Snelling and Michael Bush are two running backs that you could start in just about any league this week, and they'll put up points for you. As far as quarterbacks go, I do like Matt Ryan this week. I like Alex Smith as well. And then another running back that I think is could possibly score you a touchdown and put up at least a few yards. Mike Bell, remember, had 75 yards, 2 touchdowns in his last game versus the Buccaneers. Everybody runs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look for the New Orleans Saints to divvy up those carries among their three running backs. Also, with wide receivers, Greg Camarillo's had 27 targets over the past 3 weeks. Look for him to get some passes thrown his way. And another guy who's very under the radar is Andre Caldwell from the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati needs to get their passing game going, and I think Andre Caldwell has a chance here. Another guy, Kevin Boss, who I think is the most underrated tight end in the National Football League. He's a guy I'd go with, and I would have no hesitation in doing so. And then, as Ross said, David Thomas is a nice play. Jeremy Shockey, we're hearing, is a game-time decision. So if Shockey is out of the lineup this week, David Thomas is a guy that could also put up some yards, has some great chemistry going with Drew Brees. And as far as defenses go, yeah, I agree with Ross on that Buffalo defense. And look, Brian Brohm, you know, coming out of college, he's a guy with some tools, but what's really going against him is the fact that Buffalo's offensive line just cannot protect the quarterback. I don't think he has any chance in this to succeed. So, you know, that Buffalo defense. And then, obviously, San Francisco's defense is also a great play this week as well versus the Detroit Lions. So those are my sleepers of the week.
There you have it, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible. Check it out, NFLDraftBible.com. I want to give a shout-out to my main man, Taz, in the chat room. Always welcome, the official moderator of the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. We'll see if we can get him on as a special guest next week. And check him out, FantasyFootballWiz.com. If you haven't checked out FantasyFootballWiz.com, you need to do so. If it's too late now, if you've already been knocked out of your Fantasy Football League, next season, FantasyFootballWiz.com is your home for Fantasy Football news. Okay, guys, we got a couple Fantasy Football matchups that you want to break down. Reverend, Houston, 7-7, at Miami, 7-7. The recipe for a shootout. Take it away. Reverend, did we lose you, sir? Did we lose our
second
Reverend? We have him back. Go ahead, Reverend.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, as far as this game goes, look, we went over this before. Matt Schaub is a stud here. He's been one of the most consistent quarterbacks this season. He's been under 20 fantasy points only four times this season. He had 367 yards last week with a touchdown, no interceptions. So you go with him, no hesitation there. Andre Johnson, my number one receiver this week. He's hot, hot, hot. He's averaging 163 yards, nine receptions and a touchdown over the last 3 weeks. You know, Vontae Davis at cornerback is a promising player and the better matchup in this game. But Sean Smith in coverage will spell trouble for the Texans. I think either way, whether it's Vontae Davis or Smith on Andre Johnson, I think Johnson puts up big numbers this week. Ricky Williams is a guy that I think is also startable this week. He hasn't been great lately due to fumbling woes, but he's averaging close to 100 yards over the past month. So especially if Brian Cushing misses this game, I think Ricky Williams could put up some outstanding numbers. Chad Henne is a guy that's you know, more of a sleeper this week. If you have a better option out there, go with your other option. You know, but he is getting better and better each week. If you're desperate, Chad Henne could be a guy that you would want to plug into your lineup.
Chad Henne or Joe Flacco, Ralph?
I go with Joe Flacco this week.
Gotcha.
And as far as my duds go, I would stay away from the Houston running backs. You don't know who's going to get the ball. The thing is, with those Houston running backs, if one of them has a fumble, you know, Kubiak's going to take them out of the ball game, and their fantasy day is done. As far as deep sleepers go, Greg Camarillo, I mentioned him before, 27 targets over the past 3 weeks. I think he's a play. And Anthony Fasano, a little hot and cold, but he actually played well last week. And the Texans have given up the ninth most fantasy points to tight ends over the past month. I do like Miami in this game by a field goal in a close matchup, 27-24 over Houston.
Wow. Okay. And, Ross, you also have a big fantasy matchup game for us. Before we do, can we get a Houston-Miami prediction from you?
Yeah, I'm going with my Texans today, 31-23, baby. Matt
Schaub, you know,
Andre Johnson, too much.
You know what? You could flip a coin for this game, but year in and year out, Houston seems to always disappoint. And, you know, the tuna, I think he's going to get the job done. But let's talk about this Baltimore at Pittsburgh matchup. The Steelers fighting for their playoff lives. Big Ben throwing for half a 500 yards And, you know, Ravens 8-6 trying to cling on to that wild card spot. But the Steelers have other plans, Ross, don't they?
Must-see TV. This is a huge game. Roethlisberger against the Ravens pass defense and Flacco against Pittsburgh's weak pass defense. Both those guys are good plays. I like Roethlisberger a little more, but I think Flacco is eminently usable today. Look, these teams are going to do what they do best. And Pittsburgh, obviously, that means throwing the ball. In Baltimore, that doesn't necessarily mean running it, but it does mean Ray Rice, who I think today, despite Pittsburgh's stalwart run defense, is a terrific play. Rice, Roethlisberger, the two key players on each team. There are plenty of other fantasy players here. I don't really like Rashard Mendenhall. I think the Steelers are going to throw. He had 11 carries against Green Bay, and you saw Mwelbe Moore stole one of the goal line receptions, touches away from him. I'd certainly start a Jason Snelling or Pierre Thomas over Rashard Mendenhall today. As far as the wide receivers go today, guys, you know, the Steelers, Santonio Holmes, Hines Ward, terrific. Ben Roethlisberger, trust Ward, especially in the red zone. He's a clutch player. Santonio Holmes, can he make the big play? I think so, with Roethlisberger, you know, throwing the ball over the field. He's going to have his chances. But I really like Derek Mason today, guys. He had 2 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. Pittsburgh's pass defense is awful. He's a savvy route runner. Joe Flacco's got the cannon to get it to him. I think Derek Mason is the choice receiver here, even over Santonio Holmes by a nose here. You might not agree with that, but I love Derek Mason today. Although I think the Steelers win the game, I think Derek Mason has the best game of the receivers. That's because Heath Miller is going to steal some receptions away from Santonio Holmes and Hines Ward. But watch out here, a couple sleepers. I like Mike Wallace, the 60-minute man. And we had a Todd Heap sighting. Who would have thought week 16, Todd Heap is not hurt? It's unbelievable. He had 2 touchdowns last week. I don't think you can count on that again. But I think Flacco will find some softness in the middle of the field, and Heap will be able to get open. I think the duds in this game are both teams' defenses. I would not start either one. I'd stay a mile away from them. I think there's big points in this game, but I think the Steelers, playing at home, having that passing game going, a little too much for Baltimore. Pittsburgh 34, Baltimore 26, and the Steelers are going to make the playoffs, fellas.
Booyah! Ralph, you got a prediction on this matchup?
Yeah, I think Ross read my mind here. I actually have Pittsburgh 34 and Baltimore 27 with Rashard Mendenhall scoring the game-winning touchdown.
Oh, wow. There you go. Ralph Mancini has a crystal ball as well there, Ross. And I like Pittsburgh as well. They almost beat them a few weeks ago with Dennis Dixon. I think Ben Roethlisberger gives them the edge. We got 8 minutes left to go, guys. I want to save the last 2 or 3 minutes for favorite Meadowlands moment. So we got about 2 minutes each for you to discuss the draft. As you know, we are the NFL Draft Bible. Check that out. The relaunch is right around the corner before the new year, NFLDraftBible.com. Want to prime you up for that. Right now, if you take a look at the top 5 picks, it would be St. Louis, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and Kansas City in that order. And as you know, the Cleveland has an extra pick from that Braylon Edwards trade. So we're going to take a minute or two here to hear how these top 5 picks could shake out, and we'll start off first with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Well, you know, I think this is a good draft if you have a need on defense. As a matter of fact, my top 5 guys are all defensive players. I would go with a guy like Namakong Su as my number 1 guy, no questions, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The most dominant defensive lineman and defensive player, period, in the draft. And then at number 2, Joe Hayden, a cornerback, a shutdown corner, in the mold of a Champ Bailey, of a Nnamdi Asamoah, of a Darrell Revis, and he's a tough guy, too. And then number 3, Eric Berry. A lot of people compare him to Ed Reed, is certainly a playmaker, a smart guy out there, makes a lot of plays, creates turnovers. Number 4 is Gerald McCoy, another tough defensive tackle who's hard to block. And number 5, Rolando McClain at linebacker, a linebacker who's very versatile, could play inside, stop the run, but is also a very good blitzer, plays inside, outside, very intelligent guy. And he is a big man at 6'4", 260 pounds. So it's Sue, Hayden, Barry, McCoy, and McClain, my top 5.
Yeah, very strong defensive draft, that's for sure.
And now we're going to talk to Ross Mandel, see if any offensive players were able to crack his top five.
No, they were not. And I, you know, I don't care how much these teams at the bottom or at the top of the draft need a quarterback. There is not a top five quarterback guy there, so they'd be reaching very far as I'm concerned. But you can always count on the Redskins to do that reaching at number 7 or 8 or wherever they finish. So let's talk top five. I think a man, not a boy, a man named Sue is definitely the number one pick. I don't care who gets that pick. This guy is awesome. He has strength beyond compare. He's already awesome against the run. And, you know, I think obviously has the potential to become an awesome pass rusher. There's no way a Steve Spagnuolo or whoever is making that number one pick lets him go. And there certainly aren't any quarterbacks worthy of the top pick. So for me, he's a money in the bank number one. I like Eric Berry as the number two. He's a game changer. He's a hard hitter, and he makes plays. He's not. He is the Ed Reed, and I think a team like Tampa would definitely be well served to have him patrolling their defensive secondary. Number three, it's tough here. I'd go with Gerald McCoy here, very closely over Derek Morgan. I think these guys are definitely going to help up front for whoever gets them. All of these teams need help up front. I think whoever goes number three, the other guy will go number four. And, you know, I'm looking at the Raiders, and I think they're going to get number five. You know, I'd like to think they will. But if Kansas City does, they may take the offensive tackle from Russell Okung. But I think the Raiders just have to be salivating over Carlos Dunlap, guys. He's got size and speed, and you know he gets the DUI, he gets suspended. You know that just makes him more a Raider for these Al Davis picks that they do. So I like Dunlap as the fifth. And I think after Kansas City takes an offensive tackle, which they desperately need, and it could be Anthony Davis out of Rutgers. He's got better quickness to me than anyone in the draft at that position. So it wouldn't shock me, although I think Okung goes first.
I wouldn't touch Dunlap in the top 10 because of that.
Yeah, but neither would I, Rev, but it's the Raiders. You wouldn't have touched Darius Haywood Bay either.
Okay, you're going according to team. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but, you know, the Redskins, I honestly think they're going to take a quarterback, and I think it's a huge mistake. I think they're going to end up taking Jimmy Clausen. I really do.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a huge mistake, and I think Jason Campbell, if he doesn't stay in Washington, he's going to make some team very happy.
Huh, interesting. Okay, so we have about a minute each for you guys to give us your most memorable Meadowlands moment, and who better to do it than a Giants fan and a Jets fan, and because it is Giants Stadium, we will start with the Giants fan, and what is your favorite Meadowlands moment, Ross?
Well, it's funny, there are a lot. A couple of them are negatives. You know, I was at the Pisarcik fumble game in 78. I was at the Flipper Anderson overtime running up the tunnel game. But let's go with positives. You got to go back to 1998 against your boys, Rick. Denver comes in unbeaten. Kent Graham takes the Giants down the field in the fourth quarter to ruin Denver's unbeaten season. But by far, the two best to me, Jim Burt basically killing Joe Montana.
Uh-huh.
And 2001, in the playoffs against Philadelphia, I was sitting in the end zone, and I saw Ron Dixon catch the kickoff, and he ran it back right to me. I was right there, and he ran right at me. They beat them. That was also the Jason Sehorn interception return game. God, wonder where he is now. But to me, those are my two. You know, the game after Wellington Mara died when they crushed Washington was great. The game where they throttled Minnesota 41-0 in the playoffs behind Kerry Collins' 5 touchdown passes, if you can believe that. Those are just some of them. I mean, there's so many of them, but those are my
Well, I asked you for one, Ross. Let's turn it over to the Jets fan, and we're honoring the Meadowlands here. Last game, and if you're a Jets fan, there's not really many memorable moments, but let's see what stands out in the Reverend's mind.
This one was easy. During the 2000 season, it was the Jets' overtime thriller victory over the hated Miami Dolphins. I was also at that game, and I remember the Jets were getting killed in the first half. I remember turning to a friend of mine and saying, hey, if the Jets don't score in this first drive in the third quarter, you know, I think they're pretty much done. I think half the stadium is going to leave, and a lot of people did leave, but miraculously the Jets did come back in that second half. I always remember Jumbo Elliott going for that touchdown, for that conversion. So that was just something that stands out in my memory. And, you know, that game was one of the best I've seen in my lifetime, and I will always remember that.
Well, we have one more week, one down, one more to go. I want to thank you all for joining us on this very special Sunday morning quarterback show brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible. Check it out, NFLDraftBible.com. Special shout out to all our chat room people who make this show. Love it. FantasyFootballWiz.com, official sponsor of the chat room. We're going to take it home. There's only going to be two more times you hear this
Ladies
one, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to the big show. Simply
breaks a couple of tackles. Headlock, gotta go! Headlock, gotta go! He's good!